Turn with me in your Bibles, the book of Psalms 15. Each and every week, I receive prayer needs and praise reports from people in the church. I get a list of names from that week. And then, of course, I have them stored up from the weeks past that I continue to pray for. But every week, usually Thursday, I spend time praying, specifically that day, praying for the needs from the previous weekend. Names like Debbie and Megan and Angela, KM and Bobby and Tammy and Abido, Jesse, Cassie, Rodney, not Rodney me, but I'm probably on there sometime, Joanna, and several anonymous, and there's several others' names. That's just a few of the names. At every location, pray for those from Guthrie, from Deer Creek, from Oklahoma City. But I just today wanted to do that now. I want to pray for needs. And if you're here and you're like, man, I have a prayer need. You don't have to tell what it is. I'm not asking you to do anything other than to just admit that. I want you to raise your hand. Any prayer needs? I'm asking this for all locations in Deer Creek and in Guthrie. Raise your hand. Now, I want you to stand to your feet, if you would. If you that raised your hand, stand to your feet all across this place. It may be in Oklahoma City, there's probably 70% of the crowd, 60%+ of the crowd that is standing. I want the rest of us to join at all locations now. Let's stand to your feet. If you saw somebody stand and you know them or feel comfortable putting your hand on them and begin to pray for them, I'm going to pray for you. Because here's what I know. We serve a God who is more than able. We serve a God who is powerful, that is all-knowing, that is all-present, that is a miracle-working God. He heals bodies. He restores finances. He is more than able to step into your situation, provide you the comfort, the care, the direction, the wisdom, the guidance, whatever it is you need. He can move people out of the way. He can put people in your life. He can answer whatever. The Bible says he will give us the desires of our hearts. Now, that doesn't mean we just begin to grab things out of the sky and say, I want to have this. No, in line with what he wants and his will, because that's what we pray, his will. And if you have a need right now, we're going to pray according to his will that the power of God be manifest in your life. Can you do that with me? Father, I just pray now for all locations and all people standing. And God, I just believe right now that those needs are going to be met. God, if it is a miracle of healing, God, there may be somebody now that is struggling because they've got a doctor's report or they've been struggling in their body. God, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we are healed. You sent your word among us to heal our disease, and I pray now that your power will begin to go forth to heal. And God, according to your finances, God, may you just begin to bless people that are struggling financially. God, your word says that you own a cattle on a thousand hills and that you will supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And I ask that you begin to work in the lives of people to provide financially. God, relationally, people, God, that are struggling with broken relationships, God, that are struggling needing reconciliation, relationships to be restored, some to be forgiven. And God, I pray that they would just begin to have the grace of God and the comfort of God and the strength of God to walk in the all-powerful knowing that God is more than able to heal and to restore and to just put back together. God, you take broken things and you put them back together. God, you're more than able to begin to restore lives that have been crumbling and falling apart. You're able to provide jobs. You're able to provide finances. You provide wisdom and direction. God, you're provider of all things that are good. And we ask right now that you begin to minister to people in Deer Creek and Oklahoma City and in Guthrie and your spirit online, people that are watching. And God, may your power be manifested. Show yourself real. In Jesus' name, I pray it done. And everybody said a big amen. Amen. You may remain standing, please, at all locations. And turn with me. Psalms chapter number 15. And let's start with verse number 1 today. As we continue week number 3 of this series called The Heart of Man. We're continuing with David. We talked about David for now over a month and a half. And we're going to continue on Psalms 15, verse number 1. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Those who refuse to gossip or to harm their neighbors or to speak evil of their friends. Those who despise flagrant sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. Those who lend money without charging interest and who cannot be bribed to lie about the innocent. Now read this last sentence with me. Would you do it at all locations? Let's say it, really. Such people will stand firm forever. One more time. Such people will stand firm forever. You may be seated. The last couple of weeks, we have dealt with some issues of our heart. Talked about anger. The next week, we talked about lust. Today, we're talking about lying. And I was thinking about the first lie that I could ever remember telling was around 9 years of age. I'm sure I told some lies before then. But I remember one at 9 years of age. I had upgraded from Christmas because of a gift that was given to me, upgraded from a BB gun to a pellet gun. Anybody remember those days? So the BB gun was not totally effective for killing animals, but the pellet gun, I can kill a squirrel now. I can kill a rabbit now. And so with this in mind, I began to work on my target practice, and apparently just a couple of days after I was shooting my gun, and I guess shot in the direction of my grandmother's car, because the next day I was asked the question by my dad, do you know anything about grandma's car window being shot out? I said no. Now, I actually didn't see the car window being shut out, but I know that I'm the only one that probably could have done that. And I was shooting in that direction, not with the intents and purpose of shooting her window out, but I remember looking at my dad and lying about having anything to possibly do with that scenario. I got a question for everybody that's listening to me right now. Raise your hand if you've ever told a lie. Raise your hand. Keep it up. Look around. I don't know how other locations are, but Oklahoma City is 100% filled with a bunch of liars. Isn't it amazing how a lot of sins are harder to acknowledge than lying? But really, lying is the underlying issue of pretty much all other sins. And it's something that we all struggle with greatly. I had Alexander Pope made this statement. He said, an honest man is the noblest work of God. He goes on and writes that an honest man is actually a miracle work of God. And it is very true that none of us can say that we have never lied, just like we can say we've never sinned. There's other sins that you may say, I've never done that, maybe, but lying is one of those that pretty much we all have to admit we have lied. When it comes to an employer, most surveys have proven again and again that when employers, the number one thing an employer wants from an employee is honesty. Now, there may be a list of other things too, but right at the top, number one is honesty, because it is the foundation of relationships. And if our foundation is not built upon honesty, it's going to eventually crumble and show its cracks and have a lot of issues, because honesty is so important in our lives, whether we realize it or not. In fact, I was thinking about lies, and we tell lies often. In fact, there's a category of lies called harmless lies that we just kind of justify as all okay. Now, let me just give you a few of these harmless lies. One is called polite lies. Polite lies is somebody maybe asked you about that band, and you say, oh yeah, I love that band. And really inside you're saying, I hate that band. You just simply want to just make them feel good, whatever the reason, I love that band. You really don't mean that. That's a polite lie that we've identified. How about benevolent lies? Okay, let's talk about those for a little bit. Husbands, wife comes in and asks you, do these jeans make me look fat? Okay, yeah, be very careful. Man, let me just give you a tip. First off, if you hesitate, that's not good. You got to already plan your lie in advance. The answer is just no. Here's the thing. We will say no, and then thinking, no, those jeans don't make you look fat, but you sure make those jeans look fat. That's not good. And then there is exaggerating lies, okay, where we take a credit card application and it asks how much money we're making. We want to get this credit card, so we put down $40,000 a year, annual income, and we're actually have never made more than $35,000 in a year. And so we will lie to get a little more cred so that we can get our credit card. Is it, you know what I'm talking about? So lying. Matter of fact, gets to be a very much a part of our lives. Look at Psalms and what it says here in verse number 34. It says, does anyone want to live a life that is long and how many wants that? I do. Don't you? Now look at the next verse. Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling what? I'm going to break this down into three categories, this message. First off is this. Why do we tell lies? Secondly, how do we tell lies? And thirdly, how do we reverse the curse of lying in our lives? So first off, I want to deal with why do we lie? First off, write this down in your notes. We lie to self-protect. And what I mean by that, we want to cover up. We want to make ourselves look better than we are. We don't want people seeing the truth about us. We don't want people knowing the truth about what happened. We don't want, and so therefore, we lie to self-protect and we justify that. Second one is that we lie to gain or to keep power. We lie to keep someone else from going up the ladder of success, or so that we can go up the ladder of success, or to bring somebody down to our level of success. I read something in regards to 360-degree leader surveys. Basically, it's a survey that's done of people around a leader, and basically they get to speak into leader anonymously. And the stats show on that there is about 40 to 50% of them that lie on that simply because it's a way to get a dig at their leader. I'm talking about honesty. I'm talking about lying today. Next is this. We lie to promote our agendas. We got something we want. We got something we want to get. We something we want to achieve. There's something, so we lie to promote our agendas. On resumes, 50% from a survey, multiple surveys, about 50% of resumes have lies on them. Let that sink in just a little bit. You're starting off the workplace and that job based upon a lie. We want to promote our agendas, make ourselves look good, so therefore we lie about that. Let me give you another one. We lie to get others' approval. We want them to like us. We want them to, we don't want to disappoint them. Go on, we can really justify that one. We really don't want to disappoint, so we will tell a lie simply because we do not want to disappoint someone else in our life. Now, stop and think about this for just a moment. Because here is the problem. I'm not saying you're going to hell for the white lie that you tell, the polite lie, or whatever else you want to call that lie, the benevolent lie. What I am saying is this, is that one lie that is easily told can lead to another lie that is easily told. And then over time, we just begin to tell lies. And it becomes a very much part of the fabric of our lives. It becomes a convenient way to live. And we go from telling lies to living a life of lies, which is a very real problem. I was thinking about if we were to basically tell you right now that we're going to put a camera and a microphone to you, and tomorrow all day that camera and microphone is going to go with you everywhere you go, and then the day after that, we're going to replay that out to 2 billion people around the world. Would that change your behavior? I think every single one of us, it would change our behavior to some degree. We would stop and think about everything we say, everything we do. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus says in the book of Matthew, that we do have a camera and a microphone attached to us every day. Because Jesus said, you will give an account for every idle word that you say. I do not know how he's going to unveil it. I don't know how he's going to reveal it, but we are going to give an account for everything that is being said and everything that we do. Look at Proverbs chapter number 12 and verse number 22. It said, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. This is David's son, Solomon, okay, given words of wisdom. In fact, Solomon goes on and says that there's seven things that the Lord hates. One of those is a lying tongue. Now, that's a pretty strong word when God says, I hate lying. And if it's that important to God, it should be that important to us. I have a friend of mine here in Oklahoma City whose father spent 10 years in prison because of a lie. Think about that. From the time they were in first grade up to high school, did not get to see their dad because of a lie that was said. That dad was an immigrant that had come to the States and at the moment did not know even English. And it was a convenient cover-up for someone else's criminal activity where someone knew somebody else did something wrong and knew who person did, but that person claimed it was this person, which was not the truth. 10 years later, he was freed. He was totally, all of his record was expunged and moved away, and he was cleaned. But it still did not change the fact that my friend had 10 years without a dad. 10 years he spent in prison, an innocent man here in Oklahoma City because of someone's lie. God says, I hate lies because lies destroy lives. In fact, notice what David said. It's so powerful what he said. Listen to these words again. He says, speak the truth from a sincere heart. Listen to that. Refuse to speak evil of friends. And he clarifies that. When you gossip, you're speaking evil. Even if it's true, he's saying, you're speaking evil. Notice he says, keep your promises even when it hurts. Follow through on what you say. So this is not just out telling lies. This is also saying you make a promise to somebody, but you don't show up. You don't follow through. You don't do what you said. You don't hold to your financial responsibility. He says, that's not right. He goes on and says this. He says, and don't take bribes from anyone. Don't tell a lie. Come on, just to try to get the pay increase, you're going to tell a lie so that you can make a little bit more money? You're going to fudge on that so that you can win that job? So that you can, you're going to what? And then how does God look at that? And what does God say about that? So why do we lie? We looked at. Now let's look at this. How do we lie? Okay, how is it that we lie? Let me give you a few things. First off, is we lie to others. We lie to others. Now, let me just, I did a little Googling this week, more than normal on this topic. And I found out that you women look at me. Come on, eye contact right now. Eye contact. You lie twice a day. Come on, we're amening on that, women. You lie twice a day, women. Shame on you. Men, look at them and say, shame on you. Shame on you. Why do you do that? Lie twice a day. Men, come on, how about us? Men, you lie twice as much as women do. Four times a day. Four times a day. Which, this is so sad because the women talk twice as much as we do. And we lie twice as much as them? That's not good. And men, the stats show that you lie bigger than the women do. Whatever bigger means, you tell bigger lies than the women do. That's not good. My only resolve about this, I really believe this, is that really the truth of the matter is the men just told the truth on the survey and the women lied. Psalms 12, look at it. It says, neighbors lie to each other, speaking with flattering lips and deceitful hearts. I lied to somebody last week. And when I lied, I actually did not, I was like, why am I doing this? I'm calling, I've had several, you know, surgeries the last several months, and I was paying off some bills and called to say, hey, I need to make this payment. And so after making a payment on the phone to a guy, then he says to me, he says, hey, would you mind just holding online for just take a quick survey? I don't know why I said yes, but I said yes. And he said, okay, we'll put you on hold just a second. And he put me on hold. I'm like, oh, why did I say yes? And I'm like, okay, I'm going to follow through on this. And then they went, sent me to a machine, not even a live person, and they start asking some questions. They ask the first question, this machine, you push a button. I did. And then it goes to the second one. I'm like, I'm not going to do this. And I hung up. You know what I just did? I lied. You know what I did to justify that? It was a machine I was talking to. And if I'd been talking to a live person, I would have followed through on my commitment. You know what I, you know, I can justify it all I want, but the truth matters. I lied. I said I was going to do something to a guy, and I did not follow through on that. Why did I don't even know. I'm still thinking about right now. Why did I even tell him I would do that? I didn't know who the guy was. I didn't have to be friendly to him. I didn't. There's something about I just wanted to please him. And I said yes, and then I didn't even follow through on that. Come on, church. This is not just about you or me. This is all of us. We're in the same boat. And we got to stop pointing fingers at other people. And we got to start pointing fingers back at ourselves. You see, it's easy to point our fingers because this is filtrating all levels of our society. It's not just at the lowest level or at the highest level. It's not in the areas of power and areas of media or areas of positions. This is an area that all of us struggle with. And our role is not to be pointing fingers at other people. Our role is to be pointing fingers inside of us and say, you know what? It begins in the house of God and with the children of God and the followers of Jesus Christ. Because if they're not following Jesus Christ, they're going to lie. But as followers of Jesus, we got to choose to hold up a standard of righteousness that is above what this world is doing and saying, you know what? I'm going to choose to be different than the world, and I'm going to choose to follow the plans that God has, and that means I will not lie. Wow. Good preaching, Rodney. Secondly is this, we lie to God. We lie to God. Acts chapter number 5 tells the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Sometimes we look at the Old Testament stories of judgment, and we think that there's none of that in the New Testament, and that's not the case. You don't know your Bible. There's plenty of that in the New Testament also. One of those was Ananias and Sapphira. Revival's going on, and people are selling their lands and bringing in large sums of money to give to the poor and give those the persecuted in the church, and they're helping out the best they can. Ananias and Sapphira wants to be a part of the hip, hip hooray and everybody patting you on the back and cheering you on, look what you did, and they went and sold a piece of property. They brought it in and said, here's the price of the land. We're bringing every bit of the money in to give to the church. And Peter looks at them and says, no. Is this the amount that you sold the land for? Oh, yes, it is. And Peter, led of the Holy Spirit, said, no, no, no. You're not lying to man. You're lying to God. See, ultimately, our lies that we tell to other people are really lies to God. The Bible says that Ananias died immediately. Somebody came, take him out, buried him. Several hours later, his wife shows up not knowing that her husband had lied and died. She comes in and they said, hey, is this the price you sold the land for? She says, oh, yes, this is the price we sold the land for. Peter looks at her and says, because you know what they had done? They had worked on their lie together. You see, what happens when you tell lies, you've got to remember your last lie. And you've got to work with people on getting it straight, right? You got to make sure you get it right, because if not, here's the truth of the matter. I heard Mark Twain said this, and I thought it was so really good. In fact, I wrote it down. It says, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything you've said. And that is so true. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything you said. If you tell a lie, you better remember everything that you said. And eventually, you cannot remember everything you said. Psalms 24 says this. Look at it. Who may climb to the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure. That word is honest. Who do not worship idols and never tell what? Lies. That word pure does not mean perfect. God is not looking for perfect people, but what he is looking for is people with a good heart. People with hearts that have been touched by God, that are pure. I want you to write this down. Number three, we lie to ourselves. So we lie to others, we lie to God, and thirdly, we lie to ourselves. I was listening to a counselor friend of mine the other day talk about, he said, Rodney, it's really amazing. He said, people tell lies. There's more and more lies being told by people every day. It's become such a part of their life. And he said, it makes me wonder about my own life. And I have to stop and examine. And what I want you to do is stop and examine your own life. Because we can build upon those lies and we start lying to ourselves. Blaine Bartell, who's going to be speaking to our men here just this next week on October the 1st on a Monday night. 20 years, he was a sexual addict as a minister. He was one of the leading voices in ministry, in youth ministry specifically around the United States. He had his own television program called Fire by Night. He was with Willie George Ministries and started the 180 student program. They were having like 3,000 kids come on a Wednesday night. It was truly amazing what was happening. But for 20 years, he struggled as a sexual addict. And it built on pornography to actually prostitutes, to all kinds of stuff, till eventually it all crumbled. And for the last 7 years, he's went through rehabs, he's went through help, he's been under his umbrella, spiritual umbrella, and he has been delivered, and God has been working in his life, and he's going to be coming and speaking to our men here just this next week. But he made this statement in his book, which was so powerful. He said, I went from doing evil to I crossed the line and being evil. He said, I went from telling lies to living a lie. And what happens, we keep telling lies. It's not just to others, and it's not just to God. Then it becomes to ourselves. And then we begin to believe this scenario and these things about us that is actually not even true. Have you ever been around somebody who lies a lot, and you're like, do they even believe that? And yeah, they must believe that. Psalms 119, listen to David. Here's what he says. He says, keep me from lying to myself. Give me the privilege of knowing your, what? Instructions. One of the areas that I've struggled with over the last many years was, I've shared the story oftentimes of me playing college baseball. And then, obviously, shared the story about me graduating from Oklahoma State and have a degree in biochemistry. And so a lot of people think that I played baseball at Oklahoma State, and so they talk about that. And I've never said that I played baseball at Oklahoma State, okay? But people naturally think that because if they hear one story one week and then a month later hear another story, they kind of put those together. You played baseball at Oklahoma State. And so people come up to me and they'll tell other people about me playing baseball at Oklahoma State. And I didn't play baseball at Oklahoma State. I played baseball somewhere else. But there's a part of me when they start telling that I'm like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. I played baseball. That was actually in the heyday. That was really, really good. And I actually was recruited. And I went on a recruiting trip there, okay? But I didn't play baseball there. But I kind of like, oh, that sounds good. Yeah. And there's also a part of me that says, you know, they've told their friends, don't disappoint them. They think you played there. Let them think you played there. It's not going to hurt anything. You get me? So every single time I said, I actually didn't. They said, oh, I thought you said you played. No, I didn't say. I said I played baseball, but I went to graduate Oklahoma State, but I transferred there to graduate and finish my schooling. You see how this works, though? You see how we can begin to believe our own lies? Which brings me to the last thought. How do we reverse the curse of lying? How to reverse the curse? Because this is a curse. And this curse goes all the way back to the garden. It started in the garden with the serpent coming to Eve and telling a lie. And do you realize the lies have been happening ever since? Because do you realize every one of your sins basically starts with a lie that you have in your head that comes from who? Satan. Let's read this. John chapter number 8, starting with verse number 44. For you are the children of the Father, the devil. And you love to do the evil things he does. He's talking to, quote, religious people here. Take note of that. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he is consistent in his character, for he is a liar and the father of what? Now take note of this. Multiple times throughout the scripture, I'll just give you one reference, is in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, it says that it is impossible for God to lie. It is impossible for God to lie. But for you and for me, lying is very natural. I can go back in my own time having kids. You don't have to teach your kids to lie. Your kids are naturally going to what? Lie. You got to teach them not to lie. In fact, stats show that by 4 years of age, 90% of kids understand the concept of lying. By 4 years of age. I remember going home one time and seeing kids and seeing a marker on one a kid and marked up face and arms and markings on the wall. And you look at that kid and say, did you do that? And they look at you holding the marker and say, no. You've been there. You've done that if you've had kids. Because all of us have a struggle with that. And there comes a point that we've got to choose, like David. David was approached by Nathan after his sin of adultery with Bathsheba, after planning the murder of Uriah, her husband. And then he covers it up with lies. Lie upon lie upon lie upon lie. And Nathan the prophet goes up to him and calls him out on it by telling a story. He says, there was a rich man who had lots of sheep, had as much as he wanted. And then there was a poor man who had one sheep. And he loved that sheep with everything he had. That sheep even ate in his own living room. And a traveler came through. And the rich man welcomed this traveler in his house. And when the rich man wanted to be able to provide food for this traveler, he goes to the poor man, takes his one little lamb, takes it from him, and goes back, and he kills that one lamb to provide for his traveler. And when David hears this story from Nathan, you know what he does? He gets angry. He goes irate. He says, that man deserves to die. Let me know who that man is. You know what Nathan did? Nathan pointed his finger back at David and said, that man is you. You stole the one little lamb that Uriah had for your own self. David fell on his face weeping. David was quick to respond to the Holy Spirit as he was confronted. The question I have for you right now is, when the Holy Spirit confronts you today, how are you going to respond? Because if you're going to break the curse of lying, you've got to learn to hate evil and love what is good. Notice what David says in Psalms 119. He says these words, I hate and abhorred all falsehood, all lies, but I love your what? In other words, he's saying, if you're going to break and reverse the curse, you got to learn to hate the right things and learn to love the right things. So you got to hate falsehood. You got to hate lying. You got to hate the father of those lies, who is the devil himself. And you got to love God. And you've got to love his scriptures. And you got to love his word. And you got to love Jesus Christ, because he is the word that became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So let me give you just some things to think about when it comes to that. First off is this. When it comes to honesty. Honesty with God through the scriptures, through the gospel, must happen. You must be honest with God through the gospel. And when I'm talking about the gospel, I'm not just talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm talking about Genesis through Revelation is the good news to us, church. It is the hope to us. And you got to be honest with God through the gospel. In other words, what I'm talking about, you've got to engage the word and know the word. One theologian that I read this week said this. He said, you got to take the word and you got to screw it, bolt it down inside of you. I watched somebody this past week get in their vehicle. And I was in my vehicle probably 100 yards away or 100 feet away. And I see this person get in their car and they put stuff in and they put a drink up on top of the car and they put the rest of the stuff in and they forgot the drink on top of the car, a cup, plastic cup. And they got in the car and started driving off. And I kind of drove over, but it was too late. They were already taken off. And as they probably got about 50 yards, somewhere between there. The wind and stuff blew it off, and it just went off the back of their car and just splattered everywhere. And I had this mental image at that moment about the Word of God in Christians' lives. Is that so many Christians just kind of carry the Word of God around like a plastic cup on top of their car. And they really do not have the Word of God bolted down in them, screwed down in them. Because what happens when you have temptation and struggle inside of you, if you do not have it bolted and screwed down inside of your heart and life, it's going to just blow off. Hear me? That's why David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God." He learned from his mistake. Now, you're going to learn from your mistake and bolt it down and do something with that. Second is this, write this down. You got to have honesty with yourself by aligning with the gospel. Honesty with yourself. The word says, "Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus." You got to choose to align yourself to the Word of God. We so stop with, "Oh, I'm transformed. I'm a new creation. If any man be in Christ, they are a new creation. I'm a new creation." Well, you may be a new creation, but the same thoughts, the same struggles that you had before you got saved are still going to be there after you get saved. There is a battle for your soul. We are saved, but we are being saved every day. And that comes through the regeneration of the Word of God and the renewing of our mind. That means we got to get in the Word of God. Paul talks about again and again the renewing of the mind, the renewing of the mind, the renewing of the mind, over and over again. These are saved people he's talking to. That's why we got to get the Word, memorize it, read it, put it in our hearts, put it in our lives. Start new habits. You know, they say it takes 21 days to start a habit, but I read this. It takes 63 days to really begin to change your brain patterns and how you think. And sometimes we do not give enough due diligence and dedication to that as Christians. We should be people of the Word that can quote the Word, live the Word, walk in the Word, breathe the Word, abide in the Word every day. Last one is this, honesty with others by being the gospel. Honesty with others by being the gospel. My kids go to City Church. City Church is where Matt and Lindsay Nelson pastor in Tulsa. And they were, you know, college students in our church, and then they were on staff with us, and then we sent them out to Planet Church in Tulsa. And my kids have been there for the last 6 years in the church. And one of the things that they say as they dismiss, we say, "Love God, love people, follow Jesus." But they say, "Everywhere you go, be the gospel." And I like that. Everywhere you go, be the gospel. In other words, when you're honest with God through the gospel, and then you're honest with yourself by aligning to the gospel, then you can be honest with others by being the gospel. Because there's people at work, there's people you live with, there's people you contact every day that they need to see the gospel, Christ in flesh, lived out. Father, I just pray right now and ask, I just close your eyes, please. Invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Holy Spirit, do your thing. Convict us. And may we, like David, respond accordingly and start hating what God hates, and start loving what God loves. And God hates lying. God hates the devil and evil. God loves truth. Righteousness. May we do that in Christ's name. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, now is the time to confess your sins and ask Christ into your heart and make you a new creation. Don't listen to the lie of the devil saying, you can't be good enough. No, you can't be good enough. That's why we need the grace of Christ. And don't listen to the lie of the enemy that says you're okay and you're good. No, that's a lie too. You're not good. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Call out on the name of Jesus right now. Call out on him. Ask for forgiveness of your sins. And for every person listening to me that struggles with lying, all of us do. Let's now commit to God to walk in righteousness and holiness and live rightly before the Lord. Father, may it happen in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I pray it done. Amen.